back some air, Derek Dobies on the hotline. Good morning, Derek.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
Doing good. Doing good. How are you?
Doing swell. Doing swell. It's another week.
Yep, another week. More budget juggling, I guess.
Yeah, more budget juggling. We're going to have a budget workshop on the 21st.
That's tomorrow.
That's going to be at 6 o'clock online, obviously. And we're asking everyone to send any questions about budget to budget@cityofjackson. That way we can have those questions better answered through the workshop process. And then, obviously, next week we're going to have another conversation on budget and vote on it coming here on the 26th, hopefully, so that we can get the budget done by the end of May. And, you know, as you know, we go through budget amendments almost every council meeting, and so it's definitely kind of a document that is going to change throughout the year, particularly some of the struggles we're sure to face with coronavirus and the economic impacts of mitigation strategies around COVID-19. So it's going to change. We've made certain decisions that are going to save us about $2.6 million between now and the end of the fiscal year. So, you know, lots of decisions that are coming up here on the 26th. And, you know, we want to have a budget workshop. We have to get the budget done. It's our spending plan for the year, our list of priorities, and so it's going to be a little bit challenging in this time of social distancing and time of doing meetings online. But we're going to try to make it as open and transparent as possible, and people can get copies of the budget and take a look at it for themselves too.
If people have a question, Derek, what's I guess the best way to get that answered? Best way to approach that?
Yeah, the best way is to email budget@cityofjackson.org if they are looking to have it answered at the budget workshop. I always encourage. There's a group of people that oftentimes to our city council meetings and deliver citizen comment there, public comment there. You know, I always try to tell them and tell others who are interested in engaging in their local government that, you know, the best time to engage with anything is before we even get to the council meeting. You know, there's some of the policies and programs, other projects that we work on for weeks, months, sometimes even years in development before they hit the council meeting, and then they're voted on, two times at a council meeting, often with ordinances. So, I think the best time is to engage before the meetings, and I think the opportunity to do that is through your local city council person or reaching out to me directly. You know, I get people all the time that reach out and call my cell phone. I just got a call the other day from a woman at Reed Manor, and talked to them for minutes about some of the challenges that they were facing. I mean, it doesn't have to be scary. We all post our emails and cell phone numbers online, and it's a great opportunity to reach out and ask questions and get input. And if we don't know the answers, we'll make sure to find them for you.
Any big areas that will be facing a cut, Derek?
You know, I think right now we've tried to stretch it across the board as much as we can and make sure that we're preserving as much of our essential services as possible. Making sure that we're not having police and fire as those essential public safety personnel as we kind of emerge out of this public health crisis. We are doing some things that are going to, at the meeting, continue to extend the you know, some of the potentially extend some of the layoff situations that we've had. We're pushing the non-owner occupied residential property registry back, deadline back from July back to September. Other things to make things a little bit easier for residents and businesses here in the city, as we're starting to see some glimmers of light on the other side of this stay-at-home order, as the economy starts to re-engage by different regions and kind of creep down the state, I guess. So I think there's going to be a variety of things that are going to impact that, and also, you know, other things that we can't necessarily foresee right now that are going to be impacting the budget for months and probably years to come.
Yeah, undoubtedly, that's going to happen. Now, you have we banned smoking at the city parks, or what's that all about?
No, one of the things I talked about in the state of the city, now that we've kind of taken the brunt of the coronavirus and set up the different structures to be able to respond to that, starting to, and now that I have a lot more time at home, starting to get back to the policies, the programs, and different things that we talked about in state of the city, and getting through those. And one of the things that's been on the agenda for the City Parks and Recreation Commission for a long time and is smoking in the parks. Obviously, in 2009, Michigan put forth a smoking ban that banned smoking in restaurants and other places of public accommodation and inside of businesses, but it didn't ban smoking in places like public parks. Now there's been probably scores of cities in the state of Michigan that have taken that proactive step since 2009 to ban smoking on beaches and public parks. It's something that I know the people within Parks and Recreation Commission have wanted to do for a long time. Mm-hmm. I announced, you know, my support that I work on it at the state of the city, drafted a model ordinance. The City Parks and Recreation Commission voted unanimously to do that. I think it's an appropriate time once we're now that we're talking in earnest about how we can better protect public health around coronavirus, that we also think as we start to reopen some of our parks, how we can do that for a variety of factors. And, you know, I got a little almost 4-year-old now. We often go to the King Center, go up to Loomis Park, and, you know, I often see others that are hanging out at the park, some that are, you know, smoking right inside of Loomis Park on the wood chips, you know, and having a little daughter running past that secondhand smoke, seeing cigarette butts on the ground, you know, is something that we can correct, make sure that we're keeping those young lungs healthy as possible, and you know, doing our part to protect our kids and protect ourselves and make our community a little bit healthier.
So
that will be going in front of council on Tuesday.
Okay, so you're putting together an ordinance there that they'll, what, vote on?
Yep, it'll be an ordinance that establishes a clean air ordinance, which basically prohibits smoking in our parks and smoking outside of establishments where they're already banned smoking within a 20-foot radius outside of those doorways, so that people that are walking into those facilities, restaurants, things like that, will have a little bit of space to get through some what sometimes can be a sea of smoke. So it's similar to other policies that have been enacted across the state. You know, most other communities have made these sorts of stipulations to better protect public health, and I think it's a good time for council to pick it up and consider it, take some action. And the Parks and Recreation Board unanimously passed it at their May 6th meeting. So, you know, I'm optimistic about its chances to get passed through council and ultimately come into effect here just as we're starting to reopen some of our parks.
What about Parks and Recreation? Do you see anything developing this summer at all, or not?
You know, I think in terms of you know, us, it's we're kind of in a wait and see situation right now. I think in terms of the city incentivizing or encouraging large scale events or places of congregation or different, you know, sporting events where we're encouraging different people to get together, I think that that's going to be, you know, unlikely. I do think.
So no softball, right?
Yeah. Well, I doubt it.
Okay.
I think that more likely the case in the next few weeks here, we're going to be reopening some of our parks. I know Ann Arbor's done that, reopened some of their tennis courts, but encouraged people to follow social distancing and only play tennis with people in their homes. I think that's probably hard to enforce. You know, we don't want to see another spike here, so we're going to listen to our public health professionals and the people that we sit at the mask care index and through our emergency operations, and listen to those professionals about what it makes sense to do here in Jackson. But I assume, you know, over the next couple of weeks here that we're going to be reopening those parks, figuring out how we can reopen the playgrounds and maintain some sanitation there. But, you know, that'll be a little bit of getting back to normal, or basketball courts, you know, tennis courts, pickleball courts, things like that.
Street assessments. We have a couple webinars. One is this afternoon. One's tomorrow afternoon.
So we have.
Yeah, go ahead.
Franklin Street. We're having a webinar this afternoon at noon to talk about that. That was delayed from the last city council meeting. It's a $1.9 million project. Huge project that's going to be doing the water mains, lines, street reconstruction, curb replacement, sidewalk replacement where necessary. So, big project. And similar to what we do on any roads, frankly, the two roads that I've lived on here on Thompson and before on over on First Street, you know, part of the project is specially assessed to the property owners based on frontage on those streets. So, you know, for some people that can be a surprise. For I think most, it isn't, because that's how it's been done in the city since I got on council. You know, we've taken extra measures with Franklin Street to cap and all streets kind of during this discussion about Franklin Street to cap the amount of special assessments at $15,000. That's, you know, spread over 10 years. But to cap that total assessment at 15 grand, many assessments are much, much lower than that. They're often capped by their true cash value. We have a cap of 25% of the true cash value of the home is typically what is capping a lot of those assessments, but on a home that's high value, it can be a lot more. That's why we instituted kind of the ultimate flat cap at 15 grand. So, but we wanted to have more conversations with the residents there, so we did table the Franklin Street assessment from the last meeting to the 26th, and Laura Schlechte's worked hard to set up two webinars, so I'm going to be on those. Franklin is today at noon, and then MLK, we're going to be doing the street from Mason to Morrell. That webinar is tomorrow at noon, so if anyone wants to join us, reach out to the city, reach out to myself, reach out to Councilwoman Schlechte. Going to be a good discussion, and you know, hopefully we can move forward with fixing those roads and getting those projects done this year.
Yeah, I think the city manager will be on. I believe he's going to be on both of those. So,
yeah.
What about the Fifth Ward?
Fifth Ward, we're having a meeting on the 27th. So we're going to be screening the three applicants, I think in alphabetical order. So Peter Bormuth, Karen Bunnell, and then Susan Murdy. We'll have those screenings. We'll, similar to last time, ask a set of questions that kind of show some general competency about city government and understanding some of the challenges that we face and some of the solutions that we're working on now. And then you know, we'll give council a time to ask some other questions. But you know, I think we'll be probably making a decision coming out of the May 27th special meeting for that. And then, you know, by the end of May, having a new face in the Fifth Ward.
Okay. Can the public get in on those, or how's that going to work?
Yeah, so the public will be able to watch and listen in and deliver, you know, public comment. Questions, the questions are going to be asked the same. You know, we're not going to, similar to last time, we're not going to take any direct questions to the candidates from the public. There's certainly a lot of time between now and then for individuals to reach out to their respective council members or to me and have specific questions asked of all the candidates, or encourage us to vote for one candidate or the other, or you know, whatever sort of public input they want to have. There's time to do that. There's going to be a public comment section for people to weigh in one way or the other, and then you know, council is going to conduct the meeting, ask the questions, and then I'm sure probably deliberate, and there'll be a couple of motions. Hopefully we won't go through the process that we did last time, where we went back out and it took a little bit longer than expected. But you know, I think there's some good people that have applied, some people that are gonna make the case for themselves, you know, we'll see what is the interest to council in making an application to the board based on, you know, what we're hearing from the community, what sorts of responses those candidates give, and the background on those candidates, and you know, what they've done here in the community. So I think it'll be a good opportunity to engage in that conversation, talk a little bit about what the city's been working on, and ultimately try to fill the vacancy here in the Fifth Ward.
Jackson Mayor Derek Dobies. Derek, appreciate the visit, as always.
Hey, thanks, Greg. I appreciate it.
Take care.
Have a great week.